You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage of 50,000.
Hello and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 95. My name's Matt Hall and I'm running out of one-liners to comment on how close we are to 100 episodes.
Five from 100, Matt.
I'm going to hand you over to Jeff. Jeff, how are we doing?
I'm good. Hello, everyone.
Action-packed episode. Lots of content, lots of interviews coming up for you this week.
And
some interesting ones as well for you. Some that you won't expect. We're going to start off, though, with a recap of Saturday's trip to Grimsby Town. Jeff, yourself and I went up on the supporters' coach, which was a good experience catching up with everyone.
Us and 33 others. Coach broke even, so a massive thank you to everybody who booked their place on the coach. Greatly appreciated. Like I said, I think we've shared with supporters. Obviously, it hasn't. The coach show hasn't been breaking even this season. However, that game in isolation did. So, a massive thank you to the supporters who made it. And actually, Matt, it probably was accounted for almost. Well, just under 50% of the crowd that day, because it was 76, 78 in
78
total.
In the end, yeah, incredible.
So absolutely fantastic. It was a really, really good atmosphere, to be honest, on the coach, both on the way up there and obviously even more so on the way back, thanks to a fantastic afternoon, really.
It was, wasn't it? And you and I had very differing views of the game. You were in the away end. I was in the press box surrounded by home fans with Josh. And it was a really good performance. I mean, I think you look aside from the first 20 minutes when Bromley could have been...
I was going to say, it was a few
goals down. Other than that, it was a really professional performance. Bromley were strong enough to go 1-0 down and change the tide of the game, change the way things were going. And actually, probably were unlucky to go in a goal apiece at half time. It could have been...
It was a strange game early on, wasn't it? Like I say, it's always a way. You go to a club like that, 5,500 home fans, big ground, big stadium. You don't know how the referee's gonna react to a crowd, and you're always gonna be under pressure in those opening stages. And like you say, Matt, I think we were definitely under it a bit early on. They obviously got their early goal, but again, on our side, I always think we always tend to react to going a goal behind whenever it is. We tend to head into that next gear or whatever. But it was one of those where we conceded and it was like, okay, and then it was going to go one of two ways. It was either going to be, like you say, the Alamo's all covered on and we conceded another four half time, or you always know with this team that they're going to be able to respond to that and not just go and equalise, but go and win a game. So so it was a nervy, it was tetchy first half of that first half, as it were. But like you say, Matt, we grew into it as the half went on, and obviously the end result, absolutely fantastic.
And go and win it we did, Jeff, and it was a goal from George Alexander in the first half to level things up at the time. And then we think a goal from Jude Arthurs. Was it an own goal? Was it Luke Coulson? We don't actually know.
I was literally behind the goal, much closer to you guys, and I wasn't even aware of it. And then someone was saying Jude, and I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, I think he's claimed it. Here's the best.
I'm sure I've seen a video. It isn't. Anyway, go on.
Here's the best of the action from the afternoon. In towards Webster, gets a touch on it towards Show Me at the back post, not able to clear yet, as it's in towards Arthurs, and it's into the back of the net, and it's George Alexander who gets the final touch, and Bromley have parity here. It was Giles Coke who was messing about with the ball in his own penalty area. He couldn't clear it. Bromley pressed and pressed and pressed, and it's George Alexander who tucks it home, and the Ravens are level here. Coulson will be the man to take it, as always, as he raises his hands and delivers it right-footed in towards Larby. And it's into the net! And it's a goal for Bromley! I think it might be an own goal, but Bromley won't care. Luke Coulson with the corner delivery has taken a touch as it's gone across the face of goal, and it ends up in the bottom corner. No idea who got the last touch, but it's a Bromley goal, and Bromley have the lead here.
A quick shout out to all the fans who did make it, because I must admit they've got a little sports bar behind the stand. It almost felt like you were in front of in someone's front room. It was quite bizarre, but it was really quite pleasant. And they had loads of old scarves and shirts from all the away clubs that have obviously visited there over the years. And it was really good to spend some time in there And yeah, the goals, Matt. Like I say, I think the winner. I was sitting next to Roy Oliver at the time, and hand on heart, Roy was like, "We're going to score from here," but before the corner was even taken. And then, like you say, corner win, and that was it. Everyone went rushing down to the front of the stand. It was absolutely brilliant. And obviously, the players came rushing over to celebrate with the fans. But again, and then at full time, there was that. Sorry, before that, obviously, the goal, Jude Arthurs, everyone got involved. I saw something on Twitter with Cheek afterwards and Coulson.
Well, this is the thing. Earlier on in the season, away to Aldershot, Luke Coulson with a corner, which I and someone else gave as an own goal. Luke Coulson was not happy at all. Now, the same thing, similar things happened here, but this one's less clear. So the ball's come in.
Is it? Because I've watched the video and I think...
I thought it was an own goal.
He's anywhere near it.
Jude has been phenomenal recently. He's definitely going to claim Tuesday's goal, which we'll get onto in a bit, but that one, I'm not really sure.
What was the process of confirming who scored it on Saturday? Did someone just ask Jude? And Jude
me,
went, yes.
Me texting him to say, is he claiming it? And him saying, yes, it came off his
brilliant.
Barnet, so, which is his exact words. But yeah,
investigative journalism at its best.
Michael Cheek was getting involved on Twitter saying that Luke Coulson's going to have a thing or two to say once the goal got credited to Jude. But anyway, I think it's gone down as a Jude goal and people will make up their own minds. But what a great result. And I'm sure the atmosphere, Jeff, in the stand at the end was brilliant.
It was actually brilliant. It was almost comical at the end because for some reason we had no stewards in front of us for the whole game. And then all of a sudden at the end, there was just 10, 12 of them just appeared in front of the away end and they sort of walked themselves, like marched themselves 10, 15 yards into the pitch. And I couldn't work out why. And then I realised it was to try and stop our players coming over to us. It was very odd. And to be fair, Corey Whiteley and Byron Webster, just leaders, just walked through them. Just absolutely bundled through them and got the rest of the team to do so as well. So, and I know that was well received by the fans. A lot of fans picked up on that and saw that. And yeah, it was great at the end. Like you say, high fives all round. They must not like us Grimsby fans. I mean, to do the double over them was absolutely fantastic. And like I say, you know, we could see you sneaking out. All that was going on for the last fight. It was brilliant. Absolutely superb.
And a great place to do it as well. Like you say, Jeff, with the big crowd behind the home side, but the Bromley fans certainly made themselves known during that game. We could hear them in the press box, I know. But anyway, after that one, it was a case of no time to rest on laurels and it was back to home action, this time against Woking.
I think Andy said it in his interview, didn't he? He said it's a great result, but it doesn't mean anything if we don't then go and get a result on Tuesday as well. So, yeah, a lot riding on Tuesday's game. Obviously, kids for free, which is great. Woking, to be fair to them, have they brought a few? What was their...
Just under 150, I think.
Brilliant effort on a Tuesday night from them, to be fair. And like I say, the overall crowd, just under 1,700.
Yeah.
You know, so that you expect, when you've got two big games in a week, everyone's waiting. Oh, well, I am anyone. Everyone's waiting until payday. You're going to pick and choose one of these games. It's probably going to be Notts County on Saturday. So to get 1,700 on a Tuesday night was great. And yeah, like you say, Matt, to... how do you describe the game?
Ugly.
Okay, there you go, one word.
I was going to say something else, but ugly will do, as that's the word Andy Woodman used. But do you know what? Actually, in the first half, from where I saw it, Bromley actually played some good football. There wasn't too much by way of chances for either team, really. Michael Cheek hitting the post early on. It was a bizarre goal, by the way, and we'll hear the commentary from it shortly. And another one from Jude Arthurs. This one definitely is his goal. And this will be. And he got man of the match, by the way, as chosen by Skill Crown. So massive well done to Jude.
I also just want to touch on something completely away from the game on that one. Before the game in the exec club, we were fortunate enough with a charity to be hosting some sponsors. And the interviews that you do before the game, usually you interview the manager comes up, speaks to them. But what I really enjoyed was the two young lads. Remind me,
Ben Crowhouse and Kellen Fisher.
It was brilliant. You know, you interviewed them and you spoke about their FA Youth Cup and everything like that, and it really added to the occasion. Everybody up there got a real sense of connection with those players and the journey they'd been on.
They did. I mean, there was a little round of applause when the players were talking about their achievements in the FA Youth Cup and being 3-1 down at Forest Green Rovers with 5 minutes left.
But people were aware of it. There was like half the people in the room that obviously weren't, but there was other half going, oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It was brilliant.
And both of them spoke very well. And listen, both of them are hugely talented footballers, by the way. And you could see Kellen started away to Dover in the FA Trophy and Ben came on and played really well. that afternoon. So yeah, really, really good interview with those two. It was a real pleasure, and like you say, hopefully added to the occasion for the people in the exec club upstairs.
Definitely. Obviously, back on the football front, it was yourself and Dan Bentley on commentary duty. And here's what he had to say.
Here is Whiteley with another ball in towards the box. It's a great ball as it reaches Alexander. Alexander with the shot, great block. And a second block there from Long King. Bingham getting in the way. Will it loop towards goal? And it's in. And Bromley have the lead. It's a bizarre opener. I'm not sure who's going to be credited with it. Maybe Jude Arthurs, as the ricochet bounced over the grasp of Mark Smith and into the net. Bromley have the lead, Dan. And for the second consecutive game, we have no idea who scored it. Looks like Arthurs is claiming it again.
Yeah, it looks like it. I think Cheek was looking to get there at the back post just to stab it home, but the ball has just gone over the line, hitting the stanchion of the post. I'm not quite sure who it came off, whether it was Arthurs or... to be honest, I'm not too sure, but Woking couldn't clear their lines and clearing it against the onrushing Bromley attacker, and it's looped over Mark Smith.
Great job from yourself and Dan, as always, mate, up on that gantry in the blustery conditions. Staying on first team subject, Matt, we've got some player news.
Yes, I can now feel the front
I
of my body.
Say player news, I mean player exclusive.
It is.
This at the time of recording this, and when this does go out, it hasn't been announced yet.
Ravens Weekly breaking news here. It's a developing story. We're doing our best to keep up with it.
Unless you're waiting to Friday to listen to it or Saturday morning.
Yes, then it's not breaking news. But right now, it's breaking news for us. I can now feel the front of my body again, having recovered from the cold. But it is a new contract for Billy Bingham. Congratulations to Billy Bingham, who has signed a new deal to keep him at Hayes Lane. I think we need some audio effects there, which is absolutely phenomenal news. I think anyone who's watched Bromley on occasions, even this season, will have seen just what an influential player Billy is. And on occasions where we've not had him in the team, we've really, really missed him. Not only that, he's a very, very smart guy, a fantastic character off the pitch as well. So really, really important to tie Billy Bingham down. And that's exactly what's been done.
Really positive step. Like you say, to get that done at this point of the season and stuff, and have that security in place, absolutely brilliant. Touching on central midfield, Matt, obviously we also welcomed the lad from Palace.
Yes, Luke Dreyer, that was a brilliant one as well, to bring in a very highly rated young player. Well, I say young, he's 23 now, so he's in men's football. He's actually played a few minutes in the Premier League for Crystal Palace against Bournemouth a couple of years ago, and was on the bench against Man United as well. So we'll be hearing from Luke shortly after the Billy Bingham interview. Here's what I had to say to him, and his thoughts on signing the new deal. Billy Bingham, you've agreed a new contract here at Hayes Lane. How do you feel now?
Yeah, I'm really pleased. Really, really pleased. Some might know, last year I wasn't sure where this year would lead me in terms of my career and my life in general. But I'm really, really pleased to sign the new deal and to be here for the next couple of seasons.
And you really seem to be enjoying your football. You've been enjoying it since minute one, really, haven't you? Despite the challenges with COVID as well.
Yeah, I've loved it since I've come here. And now, this season, we've got a really good chance of doing something special. And I've always enjoyed the second part of the season the whole way through my career. So we've got something really good to aim for now.
And you're actually one of Bromley's longer serving players now. So you've seen a few changing rooms and players and staff come and go. But it's always, since you've been here, it's really been a close-knit group. Whoever's been in it, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, I think that starts with the staff. You know, since I've been here, it has been a close-knit, good change room, good people, and that comes from the people that bring the players in, and that is something that we show on the pitches. Sometimes it gets tough, it gets gritty, like the other night, second half really, and you have to dig in together, and it really shows that we've got a good change room.
And you talk about tough. Last year, there were a lot of uncertainties, weren't there? And how did you find that as a player that's had quite a few seasons as a professional now? It must have been the strangest one for you.
With COVID? No one could expect what was coming the last couple of seasons, really. It was difficult playing with no crowd, but you get on with it. It's very strange running out with nobody around. Almost felt like pre-season friendly. But it's the same for everyone, really, so you do have to just get on with it. But it's been a massive change with the fans here, cheering us on, home and away, because they're brilliant, and it makes a massive difference for us.
I was going to say, the fans have really brought the buzz back, and I know all the players agree with that, don't they?
Yeah, I think here at most interviews now, that most people say how good they've been. Away games are unbelievable, especially last week at Grimsby, to go that far. something special, yeah, and I hope we can reward them come the end of the season. And we've got a tough ask, but we've got a chance.
And it's not only players and staff that change across the time that you're at football club, it's the facilities as well. And as we sit in this room now, when you and I sat down for that first interview, when you joined us, none of this was here. It must be incredible for you to see that transformation.
Yeah, it's brilliant. When I first joined, it was just a few pictures on a piece of paper of where it was going to go. And now to see it and be part of it, I'm really pleased to be part of it and to see it. And there's still bits to be done. I can't wait to see how it finishes off.
And we've seen the great character in this team throughout various points in this season, but this is a great team. Just what can this team achieve?
I don't want to jinx anything because we've got so much to do and there's so much hard work to do, but one thing's for sure, every game we go into, we're together and we'll never give up. That's for sure. But like I said, there's so much hard work to be done. And I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward to it.
And it's not only the National League where the team find themselves in a good position at the moment, but of course the FA Trophy as well, which would be a great achievement to progress further in.
Yeah, it really would be, because last time I was at Wembley, I was on the bench and we got promoted from League 2 to League 1. So I've never actually played at Wembley, so it's a dream for everyone that plays football, everyone in general, I think, to be play a part at Wembley. So to be able to get there, that'd be great.
And personally, how are you feeling about your own football this season and your fitness?
I'm really enjoying it. Hardly been injured, touch wood. But it's great to be part of something where everything's going well around the club. We're doing well on the pitch. It's a good place to be.
And we talk about the fans. Let's move on now. This Saturday, a massive home game. Notts County come into town and they're going to be as important as ever, aren't they?
Definitely. This is a massive game. Notts County is a tough game anyway, but as it comes, it's so tight. I think you can see the top 9 is 6 points between everyone. So the fans will be our 12th man, as they say.
Well, Billy, congratulations. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, man.
Great to hear from Billy there, Matt. Like I say, we're very, very fortunate. We don't really have any bad eggs really in our group, but there are players that you just go out of their way to help and assist you. And obviously, Billy's one of them, and he's just a... Again, one of those just fantastic club ambassadors, isn't he, to have him in the group.
He's a real class act, Billy, and I think you can see that in terms of the way he conducts himself on the pitch, the way he conducts himself in interviews.
Is there a
and
better
the
midfielder in
well.
Our league?
I don't think there is, no. I think he's...
You stop for a minute and you talk about other teams and you go, OK, who am I going to sign? I wish they were on our team and stuff like that. I genuinely cannot think...
No, I agree. It just makes it look easy. It just makes it look effortless. His fitness is absolutely incredible. We're very, very pleased to obviously
Great
have
news.
Him on board. It's absolutely fantastic news. Andy Woodman was equally delighted with that news and shared his thoughts in this interview. Amongst other things, here's what he had to say.
Andy, so it's been a great start to the week. If you like, obviously, starting off with Grimsby Town on Saturday, a tough place to go and a brilliant result.
Yeah, Grimsby is always a tough place to go. It was a great result. And it was very important that we backed it up with another result on Tuesday, because then it becomes an even bigger result. So, and we know we've got to just keep churning our results. That's where we're at. You know, we've got to stay in the pack and keep getting wins on the board.
And you commented it was an ugly win on Tuesday, but sometimes that's necessary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone that thinks we're going to be playing perfect football every week is a bit delusional. This league doesn't allow you to do it, and a lot of the leagues don't allow you to do it. But what we've got a team is that can do that and then also do the ugly side of football, which is like fight and scrap and win your tackles and win your second balls, which are very important ingredients to win a football match. So we can mix it up both ways if we have to. So I was really, really chuffed the way we got the result on Tuesday, particularly after I don't think we should underestimate a long journey up to Grimsby and a late, long journey back. So well played to the team for that.
And two interesting winning goals in both of those games. Jude Arthur's claiming both of them. How pleased have you been with his progress this season?
Yeah, Jude's really taken on board. I think we need to remind ourselves he's still a young man, very young man, and he's progressing nicely. I've kept on to him about adding goals to his game. And weirdly enough, he's added some weird goals to his game, but they count. So, Jude's in a nice vein of form, and hopefully he can put another one to the tally Saturday.
And then carrying on the conversation about midfield players, we've had some great news today, and that's that Billy Bingham has committed to the club and signed a new deal. You must be absolutely delighted with that news.
Yeah, I think it's very important. Billy's a real big player at this football club, and I think anyone outside or inside the dressing room would be, you know, do well to argue against that. And I think it's, you know, sends a statement that we're trying to build something here, and build a team that, you know, with our better players. I'm hoping in the next, you know, few weeks we'll have some more announcements, because we want to start building this squad and adding to it and keeping the good players here, because they, you know, let's be honest, these boys have done a fantastic job for us.
And at this point in the season, sat fourth in the table, I think it's a point off top. It's an absolutely brilliant position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, again, I think we should just remind ourselves of what we're up against. You know, we can't go and buy a £300,000 striker like Wrexham and a £150,000 striker like other teams. That's not where we're at, we know that. So I think, you know, we should all pinch ourselves and just remind ourselves of what these boys are achieving in comparison to the riches in this league is quite remarkable. And hopefully we can keep sort of, you know, striving forward.
And a big game, another home game, the last one in a while, home to Notts County on Saturday. It seems like there's a buzz around the place. Everyone's really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Notts County would be a tough game. Again, I say they're all up. You know, they're a good team. And a big club, another big club for this division. But we'll approach it the same way, and we'll be prepared for what they have to throw us. And hopefully we can give a good account of ourselves and hopefully get the win.
Well, Andy, we'll catch up with you after that one. Thanks for your time.
Great to hear from Andy there, Matt. Moving away from first team affairs briefly and touching on the academy. Obviously, Matt, we had the pleasure of having Tom Bowman on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And obviously, the academy trials and applications are in full swing. So for those of you who might be interested or know of those who might, the academy trial applications now open, Matt. Is that right? 16 to 18?
It is online on our website, bromleyfc.tv.
Over on the website.
Go and have a look. Brilliant to catch up with Tom a few weeks ago. We don't actually see the academy staff all that much when we're here, so it's always great to catch up with them. They're always out and about in different places to us, so it's always brilliant to see that side of things and how it's all progressing. But we've got a summary, haven't we, Jeff?
I was gonna say,
going on this week,
we're doing our utmost to try and provide more coverage on a weekly basis. Hopefully for those that are following on social media, on the website, you've been seeing out on the Wednesdays, whether it's been the photos or the videos of the goals, and obviously we're trying to get a weekly summary in now every week. So a big thank you to all of those in the academy that are helping us pull all this together. I'm going to start with the under-18s, Matt. We obviously had Boreham Wood at home. Managed to pick up a 3-2 win. Our under-18s against Boreham Wood, picking up that 3-2 win there. Unfortunately, the other under-18s travelled down to Dover and fell to defeat. The other under-18s, they were up against Next Gen Pro on the stadium in the afternoon, and they came out as 4-2 winners. The Girls Academy, they faced AFC Sudbury at home and unfortunately fell to defeat. And obviously a mixed bag of results for the under-17s, Matt.
Absolutely, yeah. So moving on to the under-17s, one of the teams beat Ebbsfleet United 4-0, which is a fantastic result. And another one, another four-goal margin here, beating Kinetic 6-2 in an away game. And the other under-17 side won 4-0, beating City and Islington College at Hayes Lane.
But mixed bank might not be in a fair description then.
No,
worldies.
No, possibly not. But maybe this was the one you were referring to, Jeff, as the Ravensbourne side, in conjunction with the academy, were also in action, but fell to a 2-1 defeat at the hands of Harris Beckenham.
Oh, that sounds like a right derby game as well, doesn't it?
It Harris does, Beckenham and Ravensbourne. Unfortunately. But you can watch all of those goals from the stadium pitch over on our website if you want to catch up with all of that.
Beautiful. What's next?
We're going to chat to Luke Dreyer, aren't we? So we've obviously already covered that in the podcast earlier on, that he has joined on loan from Crystal Palace, a player that's very highly rated by Palace, and is now on board with us at Bromley until the end of the season. Here's what Luke had to say on signing at Hayes Lane.
Luke Dreyer, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How's it feel to have signed?
Thank you. I'm really pleased to have signed. I've known about it for a couple of weeks now, and I'm really pleased to be in the building. Just met the manager, and I'm really pleased to, can't wait to get going. So.
And what's your opinion on the facilities you've seen since you've been walking around the club?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I come here a few years ago to play in a pre-season friendly, and I just couldn't believe how much has changed. I'm really impressed with all the new facilities. So it's a club going in the right direction, and I'm really, really pleased to be here.
And you've been at Crystal Palace since you're nine, I believe, is that correct?
Quite a while.
Your hard work and talent's obviously given you the ability to work alongside some of the best players in the country and the world.
I've been fortunate. I've been at Palace for most of my life, and I've had some really good experiences there. Obviously, like I said, training with some top players, and I think it will hopefully stand me into good stead for coming to Bromley and hopefully showing everyone here what I can do as well.
And you have been out for a spell with an injury. How has that been for you mentally? How's the challenge been with regards to that? And just looking forward to getting back playing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a tough period of my injuries the last few years. But it's just made me more hungry to get back and get back to the level I know I can be playing at. And I think it's a great opportunity for me to be doing that here. So once I'm fully fit now and I'm raring to go.
And looking forward to meeting the fans as well.
Yeah, of course. See, I think there's a record attendance here the other day. I've been following the games in the last few weeks. So I can't wait to play in front of the fans.
And some of them will see you play in the past. For those that haven't, how would you describe yourself as a player and what do you think you can bring to the team?
So I like to play in the central midfield. I like to get on the ball and try and make things happen and get into the box, try and make myself a threat, score goals and get assists. And also I enjoy doing the other side of the game as well, defensively, to try and help the team out. So a bit of an all-rounder, I like.
Any aims for the season or targets from you?
I just want to come in and just help the team any way I can. And if I can play as many games as I can and affect the team and the team having a great season. If I can help in any way I can, I'm willing to come.
Well, Luke, great to have you on board. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant to meet Luke, a really fantastic guy, and really looking forward to seeing him in action. He's certainly a very promising young player.
I must admit, there's a lot of Palace fans over on social media and that jumping in saying,
yeah, really positive.
A great player.
Absolutely brilliant. So on to a very different interview now, Jeff. And I'm going to say, you were a bit starstruck when this person walked into the
building. Little fanboy I was.
This is brilliant because we really weren't expecting it. We'd come out of interviewing Andy in one of the rooms in our new office. And just out of nowhere appears Peter Adeniyi. What an absolute legend.
Honestly, I was starstruck all over again.
And those longer
and he
serving.
He recognised me, to be fair.
He did, I was trying
to play it cool.
The longer serving Bromley fans will remember, and those of you that were watching our webcasts of matches during the lockdown, actually, of previous historic matches, will remember his amazing playoff winning penalty against Billericay Town in 2007.
Billericay,
absolutely fantastic. And he actually watched it. We rewatched it with him, didn't we? Which was quite a special moment.
I told you, a proper fanboy moment. You're doing the interview. I was loading up the goals, put on the video.
Yeah, Jeff was honestly.
And when he comes through, so I could show him.
I've never seen you like that before. but it was brilliant. What a man Peter is. This was a really special experience being able to interview him. And here's what he had to say. Well, Peter, we didn't expect to be doing this interview today, but you're here, so we thought we would take the opportunity as a Bromley legend. First of all, for those that remember you from the good old days here, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Real nice to be back. Just came to have a look at the game today. On this kind of mission, really. Got a lot of young players out there. I'm trying to see if they'll be so like semi-future Kyle Shorten, Stroke, to come back to Bromley and help them with their development.
And obviously you say you've come back here a few times and it's just how much it's changed. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Can you put that into words?
It's quite difficult, but just unreal and surreal, really. And walking around the new building with the new bar going up, everything's out of this world from 2008, 2009 to what's being done now. I mean, the club and all the people working within it should be extremely proud of what's been achieved and what's been built.
And potentially as well, when you come here, we just walked outside and looked at the pitch there, and some fond memories for you to look back on there.
Definitely. I mean, it's a club close to my heart for obvious reason. Proud to have played a part in the history of the club. And obviously I come back quite a lot over the years because played against Cray, a few times, managing Carlshorne for the last 6 years, and this is where Cray Wanderers play their game. So being back a few times and watching games and playing against them, was there last Saturday actually. Unfortunately, lost the game 5-4 in a crazy game, but the pitch, brilliant from when we were playing. Massively different. But yeah, amazing stuff being done at the club.
And of course, you have gone down in Bromley history, that penalty. And we were just talking about it just then. You didn't, at the time, you didn't quite know what it would mean for the club. Now you can look back on it and see actually what it's been a part of, a big part of.
Well, as you can imagine, last pen to win promotion, all I was thinking was just make sure this goes in. You don't want to be that guy to miss the pen and now you're going to be, you know, upset all night. You know, fortunately enough for myself personally, managed to put it in. And from a bigger aspect for the club, I mean, if that pen was the catalyst for what's happening right now, just immensely proud that, you know, I was part of that and part of a great team back then. We had an outstanding team and we deserved to get promotion that year, and what's been achieved after that's absolutely fantastic.
And you're still deservedly getting a lot of love from the Bromley fans on social media, even when you come down to play or to manage against Cray, etc. You've had Bromley fans coming down to say hello as well, haven't you?
The fans are great. I mean, every club has great, great fans, same as Carl Shorten, same as Bromley. And the time I ran into a Bromley fan, it's nice to speak to them. It's nice to know that they remember what we gave to the club, and you've got outstanding fans. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of the fans are quite new over the last few years from where the club was to where the club are, but the old fans, I'm sure they're immensely proud of what the club has achieved in the last 10, 15 years. Yeah, it's a great, great bunch of fans.
And you say as well that you still support Bromley when you can, and you always check the scores out. It's the first score you look at other than your own, Carl Shorten, of course, which you don't need to look up because you're there.
Yes, I am there. So come 4:45, 5 o'clock, I pretty much know the result of that game. But thereafter, when I'm going through the results of the evening, obviously the club that I've played for in the past, hold a special place in my heart, and Bromley, well, one of the ones I normally check out for straight away to see how they've done and see where they are in the league table. And I was just mentioning to Jeff a few moments ago, I was watching the game against Southend a few weeks ago on TV, and that was a bit surreal watching Bromley on TV. But yeah, always looking out for the club, and hopefully game promotion this year will be wonderful.
Well, it's all surreal, isn't it? You talk about seeing it on TV, seeing these facilities around us now, and the sky's the limit, isn't it, I guess?
I keep saying to people, it's a league club in the waiting. That's what I see when I look around this place right now with what's being built and what is being built. Definitely a league club in the waiting, and there'll be no one happier than myself if promotion was to be gained this season.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for catching up with us today.
Thank you very much. All of the pleasure, and hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Oh, man, absolutely brilliant. What a lovely surprise for the day. Honestly, it was absolutely brilliant. And see him talk about the club and obviously how far it's come, and, you know, for him to be there at that point in our journey and to now see, it was absolutely brilliant. That's really, really special. But yeah, fast forward, back to 2022, and little old Notts County are heading down to Hayes Lane for a game on Saturday.
For a big game on Saturday.
Kids go free.
It is kids go free. Come on down, support the team. I think there's no Premier League action at the weekend, is there?
No excuses. This is a big game, I think. I think they moved the rest.
To fit around us, yeah, which is just what we do, really. So this is going to be absolutely brilliant. Hopefully the support on the day will really push the team to get another good result and carry on the good run of form. But it's going to be an entertaining game, whatever happens. So do come on down, get behind the team.
Yeah,
it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, all your mates who support those Premier League clubs and that aren't playing, get them down. It'll be
for some real
free
football.
Like I say, I think Millwall might be playing over. I don't think Charlton are playing until Monday. Palace certainly don't have a game, so no excuses. Get your mates down. Get them to come down and watch some real football. It'd be absolutely brilliant to have another good crowd. Like I say, I think Notts County will clearly travel well. They'll bring a lot of vocal support, so it's important we get as many people behind Andy and his men. You know, they really deserve it, the run we've been on, and you know what 3 points could do for us on Saturday would be absolutely sensational.
Indeed it would be. And we like to, as you know, all of you who listen to us on a regular basis, we do like to get the view from inside the opposition camp, and this week Josh Tindall has really really pulled it out the bag.
Pulled it out of the bag, sensational.
And we've got Les Brad, who is the all-time leading goal scorer for Notts County Football Club.
It's another exclusive.
On the podcast, it is an exclusive. Thank you so much to Les. Thank you to Nick and Steve at Notts County for sorting this with Josh. Here's what Les had to say. Enjoy.
Les, your thoughts on the season so far?
I've been very impressed with the way the season has run for Notts County. We got off to a great start with a away match at Barnet with a 5-1 victory. And then a draw following against Torquay, who'd obviously got to the playoffs and beaten us the previous year. So I was quite happy with that start. And then I think we went, was it 7-8 maybe games undefeated? And then unfortunately, which... we had a setback that I've never experienced before in all my playing career, where we lost our three centre-halves. Incredible. Also, the goalkeeper and our game changer. So we lost five players and we brought in some loan signings. And following that, we had a week where we played three and lost three, which has probably been the worst week of the season. But we regrouped again and got going and... We've only lost one since then, so yeah, I have to say that I'm very pleasantly surprised. We try and play a game of football that's entertaining. They try not to keep the ball for the sake of keeping the ball back. They like to get the ball forward. They like to attack on the left side, the right side, and they like to get balls into players inside of the 18-yard box and hopefully score goals. I'm very pleased the way the season's gone so far.
We obviously head into the match of the weekend off the back of a draw at Wealdstone, which did halt a run of straight wins, but does continue a good strong win, a good strong undefeated run. So we're going into this weekend's match also in good form, aren't we?
Yeah, I travelled down to the match and one of the guys asked the question, what do you think we're going to get today, how they're going to play today, Les? And I said, well, I'm just a touch concerned on the back of the month that we've just had. I said, I've never known a time where we've had three games called off on the day of the match, one less than an hour to go, another one an hour and a half before the kick-off, and another one on the lunchtime. And as a player, that would have really, really upset me, you know, that... being that I was in a group that were doing well, winning matches, you can't wait for the next game, and then it comes along and you're there and then it's off, and then the following week you go to another one, 4 hours, you've had an overnight stay, an hour and a half before the game it's off, and that's got to knock you back somehow. So I was a bit concerned, and I think our performance at Wealdstone reflected what had gone on with the club. And I've looked back at all of the performances of the players, and I would say if you asked each one of them, they would say that they may be a little bit disappointed in how they played. So they've got the game out, you know, come away with it with a point. It could have easily been a defeat, it could have been a win, but we go on to Bromley. We're still undefeated on a good run, so I'm hoping that all goes well.
Josh, absolute worldie there to get an interview. Matt, lovely, absolutely can't thank them enough.
Wonderful, isn't it, when you get another club that really engages with you like that? And a big thank you to Les again, Nick and Steve, and well done to Josh for arranging that as well. It's really, really nice to know that there are clubs out there that are happy to help us, which is amazing. So great stuff. Moving on then to our final thing of the podcast today. And we spoke about the coach travel to Grimsby with Jeff earlier. Well, we've now got the next five.
Yeah, can I jump on that?
Because you can, the next five away games.
A big thank you for those who remember the fans forum. It was over 3 months ago. We are overdue one. We spoke about the next day internally, trying to get that out there. In the meantime, we've met with supporters who put themselves forward for the Raven Supporters Board. That's been whittled down to about 25 supporters that are very kindly offered to give up their time to get this underway. I had the pleasure of meeting 12, 13 of them. Monday just gone, and we're meeting another 12 of them next Monday. But one of the subjects that was raised was a supports coach. We shared both from our side as a club and the fact that they don't break even and we need people's support, but also from the supporters side, obviously saying that we don't get them out early enough and give people enough notice. So Matt, I'm hoping we've put that right.
We have. So we've now got the next five away games ready to book for you. I'm going to test my off the top of the head knowledge here. The first one is FC Halifax Town on the 5th of February. We've then got Kings Lynn away on the 19th of February, followed by Weymouth on the Tuesday, which is the 22nd. Oh. Torquay United on Saturday, the 5th of March, and Yeovil Town on Tuesday, the 22nd of March.
We've not done one for Southend. We sort of weighed it up, and based on balance of interest, etc., we didn't think that would be viable. That's the reason for that, for anybody wondering. But great to have those all five all online and ready to
absolutely
book.
And not that anyone needs to have this as an explanation, but we're not doing one for Tunbridge, as it's a fairly local game. So all of the long distance away trips have been covered now up until the end of March, so do go on there, book your places up before they
absolutely
go.
Fantastic. And a big thank you to the chairman there, who continues to back it and fund it, and has given us obviously the support to keep that going and get it through to the end of the season. Hopefully, depending on where we finish, a few more games after that.
Indeed, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Talking about away travel, what are we doing? We've got to go. We're going to the train station now.
We are, yes. Well, it's not quite away travel, but we're travelling away from the football club, so clutching at straws here.
We're giving out loads of flyers from Bromley South Station. We've got the Kids Go Free flyers. We've got Ronin the Raven, a mascot down there. Big thank you to Steve and Ronin Marketing for their continued support. We're about to head down there with the Ronin the Raven and ambush a load of what did I call them? Commuters, that was
commuters,
it.
Commuters, yeah, that's it.
Or potential Wonderful. Future Bromley fans.
Wonderful.
They're all going to be here on Saturday, surely.
I hope so. Well, thank you all for joining us today. I think that's brought us to an end, hasn't it? It's been great to catch up with everyone in this podcast. Action-packed, as always. Thank you so much for listening once again. And we'll be back with
you on Saturday
next week.
Go, Bromley.
See you on Saturday first. Take care. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town.